Hey, it's me, JP, with Rue de la Rue Swanzor, and this is episode number 8 of Rue's Doggerland Tales, the history, myths, and legends of the dogs of the chase in Doggerland and of the dogs of the chase in exile by order of the great, high, and humble Dogger. May he rest in peace. It's been a year today. A couple days ago, I was with Rue at the park, playing frisbee, talking about the great project like we do, when a tawny coonhound with fancy white spotted socks ran up to us like an overexcited fan. "Rue!" she howled. "Rue! Rue!" Well, this was too much. My Rue de la Rue Swanzor is a pensive soul who needs time to warm up to strangers, and her eyes told me everything I needed to know. Call them the eyes of entreaty, if you will, or the eyes of exit, whatever. You should understand, Rue wants me to be clear about this because she says it's much too easy to make a plethora of unwarranted inferences from a posture, glance, or situation. She hates to be mired in misapprehensions. That she is friendly. She loves to play. She is delighted to be in the company of dogs. In short, she is part of the chase, despite her unique place within it. And someday we'll have to get into what the chase actually is, because it's easy to imagine it as a simple pack of baying dogs running after quarry like every fox hunt picture you've ever seen, but it's way more than that, even though maybe most dogs are content to run down the deer or the raccoon or whatever the prize is finally supposed to be. You could say Rue is a service dog of sorts, I suppose. Anyway, we'll talk about that later because I'm not sure I understand everything she told me just now with all the gravity and directness of that aspect of her personality I sometimes call reality Rue, that I am, myself, personally, part of the great project, not simply its human translator and advocate. So again, I have to say I don't get it, and she says, "Never mind, carry on with the story, so here goes." Remember, Ro and Irf were questioned by one of the great noses named Y, till the conversation was interrupted by a heedless scramble of dogs that ran straight through Y's quarters, which were supposed to be out of the way enough that Y could rely on their inviolate privacy. When Y gave chase, intending to discipline that gang of trespassers, Ro and Irf slouched away, having surmised that she would summon them again if more questions needed answering. They headed in opposite directions after taking leave of each other. Since the day had turned humid, and even the least noses could smell impending showers likely to last through the next morning, the common areas had filled with dogs who would ordinarily have been outside accomplishing the work that created and enhanced the wealth of the chase, the comfort of the dens. The common plenty is a fair translation. Ro and Irf had to acknowledge many of their acquaintances and friends as they nosed through the spaces where groups of dogs lounged. In a few of those places, they stopped to yap, to wrestle, to gently bite and paw and sniff. On such days when the outdoor work of driving game, checking nets, harvesting fowl, could wait, would have to mostly wait. Usually games were organized, and just about every dog joined in the fun for at least a while. They played ducks in baskets sometimes, to give you just one example of these entertainments, and Rue chose this particular example because Ro and Irf had won some recognition for being able players of this famous game. Well, just like it sounds, each team is assigned several sets of ducks caged in spherical baskets that they need to find in order and then hang from hooks in one of the banquet rooms. Sometimes there were scent clues. Sometimes it was more like a flat-out rough-and-tumble race or soccer game. And many variations were popular, and each version of the game required a different strategy. So it's complicated, but, you know, basically, typically, find your duck baskets and hang them up while hindering the progress of dogs from other teams in doing the same. So when Rowan Earth didn't show up to play, plenty of the other participants noticed. Their team wondered who among them would be able to leap duck basket in mouth to the hooks that, on that occasion, were strung above bends in the river on ropes that catenaried between curved birches, something like our power lines, but with quacking. And by the time Ducks in Baskets was well begun that day, Roe and Earth had found each other again at a rendezvous point in a deep tunnel, and they were loping toward the bottom of Doggerland as fast as scent and vision would allow, without a thought between them for the fun going on in the dens above, or for wise questions, or for the cats who had originally urged them there. Rue de la Rue Swanzor is convinced the cats were watching, though she allows no dog has ever made a compelling proof of it. She explains the cave lions were as savvy and sinister as any creature alive. Murderers, she says, bloodthirsty and treacherous. She goes on for a fair while, if you encourage her. They were the most intelligent of felines, Rue says. Your dumb Frankie doesn't compare. No house cat does. She's talking about my cat, Frankie. Admittedly, she's right, and that's no surprise. Roe and Earth said they never saw the cave lions again after the first time, but the reports of certain noses of note conflict with that account. They chewed the roots that clung to the walls down there as if they were starving. The caverns echoed with their giddy howls. When they wanted more, they dug fervidly, pulling and tearing, devoting their necks and shoulders to the chore, frantically flinging dirt behind them in double pawfuls. It was awful. Behind them, the piles of fresh dirt grew high and raw and wide as Roe and Earth tunneled, following the roots that tasted sweeter and more satisfying as they increased in age and thickness, gnawing ever closer to an ancient, unreachable trunk. Roe finally succumbed to an ecstasy of sorts. He ran circles at top speed till he fell asleep with his face buried in a bank of soft soil. Earth watched him with addled curiosity and answered his sleep with more dogged munching. Hundreds of feet above and some fair distance to the north, it was morning again, late morning. The sun was over the treetops when Earth shook off his trance. His fur was wet on the side he'd lain on. He sneezed to clear his nostrils of dirt, then nudged Roe awake and barked it was time to go. "We'll show up separately like we left," Roe said. "I'll go first. You go up to the lake shore to the bridge, then come," answered Earth. "Say you were after birds. You found a hollow and slept out of the rain." "What will you say?" Roe asked. "Something else. Better you don't know." At that they separated, looking at one another with heads low, their legs and tails full of trouble. I should point out, now that I've come to a good stopping place for this episode, that while Rue is telling this story to me, and I'm a grown person, I'm writing it down in such a way that it can be enjoyed by kids. Not little children, kids. So if my Rue de la Rue Swanzor says, say, that a dog was injured and describes the injury to me in some detail, I will just tell you the basics of it, okay? And if she relates some complicated idea to me in long, furry sentences that are really hard to understand, my plan is to make them simpler. But those are just a couple examples of the sorts of things I'm going to keep chill so younger people can learn about the chase. It's also one of the commands given me and Rue de la Rue Swanzor by Wile E, the great high and humble dogger, may he rest in peace, when he ordered us to begin this telling of the history and myths and tales and legends in pursuit of the great project. We hope you're learning tons about dogs and about the chase, and I wish I could tell the stories faster. We only have so much time in a day. At this pace, it'll take a century to cover the accumulated dog lore of millions of years. So maybe we'll skip a million here and there. Eh? Episode 9 is coming, and Rue says it's almost sure to reveal, if you haven't figured it out already, just exactly how Doggerland got a hole in it, filled up slowly, slowly, slowly with water and capsized in the Storega tsunami. So watch for Rue's Doggerland Tales everywhere. RueTube, the Book That Eats People channel on YouTube, the Facebook page of the Great Project of the Dogs of the Chase in Exile, the Book That Eats People Facebook page, J. Perry at Chase Dog Project on Twitter, John Perry on Patreon, Spotify podcast and Anchor as of today, with more podcast locations on the way, excuse me. I hope, obviously, I'll be able to say soon you can find us just about everywhere you can find podcasts. I'm JP with Rue de la Rue Swanzor and Rue's Doggerland Tales on behalf of the Great Project of the Dogs of the Chase in Exile, by order of the great, high, and humble Dogger. Thanks for listening.